first ever live Shakespeare reading on Sounds Good. Without further ado, Doctors Rusty Jones and Barbara Cobb.
Good Madonna, give me leave to prove you a fool.
Can you do it?
Dexterously, good Madonna.
Make your proof.
I must catechize you for it, Madonna. Good, my mouse of virtue, answer me.
Well, sir, for want of other idleness, I'll bide your proof.
Good Madonna, why mournest thou?
Good fool, for my brother's death.
I think his soul is in hell, Madonna.
I know his soul is in heaven, fool.
The more fool, Madonna, to mourn for your brother's soul being in heaven. Take away the fool, gentlemen.
What think you of this fool, Malvolia? Doth he not mend?
And welcome to
Thank
Shakespeare
you.
On Sounds Good. And the Shakespeare Festival it's actually underway, isn't it?
Well, we get underway. It is underway. I suppose it is underway because we've got showing starting of Coriolanus, the wonderful Ralph Fiennes film from Shakespeare's play Coriolanus, starting with Cinema International tomorrow night, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So, yes, things are underway, and next week they really get rolling.
With live theater. Tell about that first.
We are once again, for the 12th year, bringing the American Shakespeare Center from Stanton, Virginia, the traveling company, in. And this is just a phenomenal company for folks around the region who've seen them over the years. It's the same group, but different actors. They mix things up. A few familiar faces coming back, and they're going to do three performances of Shakespeare's wonderful comedy, Twelfth Night, and one performance of a non-Shakespearean tragedy, John Webster's The Duchess of Malfi.
It's the social event of the season. We tell everyone that every year.
Absolutely.
And indeed, give us a little background to the Duchess of Malfi.
Oh, it's a delightful bloodbath. one of my favorites.
A rib tickler.
Yeah, yeah. Webster holds no bars. You know, we've got an arm and a ring on a finger, except the arm isn't attached to a body. We have children die on stage, lovely strangulations. We've got a wonderful three-sided sword fight at one point where, of course, everyone ends up dead. It's a moral play, too, though, so I guess I have to bring
You keep
that
laughing.
Up.
I do. I love this stuff. A woman plagued by not only her evil brothers, but they bring in madmen to plague her as well.
And lycanthropy.
Yeah, werewolves.
Yes, the villain turns into a werewolf. You
How
gotta
can you
see
beat
it.
That?
I mean, you've got to see this play.
How can you
it,
beat
it's
that?
Got a moral side too. The Duchess is a wealthy, powerful, beautiful young widow, and she marries her servant Antonio because he is noble. And of course, all Hades breaks out because her brother, the Duke, and her other brother, the Cardinal, here's the state and the church, are both utterly corrupt. And so you have this utterly corrupt nobility and this good man in the middle of it, Antonio. And we're left with that question of what is nobility? What is goodness? What is the nature of love?
And in the tradition of Iago from Shakespeare's Othello, you've got a character in Webster's Duchess of Malfi named Bosola, who, at least on the surface, is this melancholy, dark, cynical, evil man who will do pretty much anything for money, including murder. But by the end of the play, we actually see that people like that are capable of redemption. Circumstances often act to thwart that redemption, but redemption is even possible for a guy like Bosola. So it's really such a multi-layered and complex tragedy. It's well worth seeing. It's well worth the time.
Okay. I'm the Lady of Justice with my scales out, and you've got 1,300 students from around the region coming to see these two plays. Mm-hmm. Have you got bets on which gets the better reception from the students?
Well, the students will only see Twelfth Night.
Oh, okay. They don't get to see the blood bath.
No, no,
I was
no,
like,
no, no, no,
safe
no.
bet.
Yeah, yeah. For some reason, we found that the teachers wouldn't mind bringing them to the bloodbath, but the administration sometimes balk on that a little bit.
I think we'll have much better luck with the comedies with the students. And I think Twelfth Night is the kind of mature comedy that this, and by mature, I mean fully fleshed out, not dirty. I mean, fully fleshed out.
That but the not students, fleshed out.
Fully not fleshed out in that way. No, no.
It's a little dirty.
A tiny bit, but the students won't. And they're just going to absolutely adore it. You've got crazy characters left and right. You've got a woman who must disguise herself as a man in order to get employment at the court of Duke Orsino. She does not realize that her twin brother, who actually is a man, is also in town. And so it's mistaken identity galore.
And that's where the real fun of it is, because the noblewoman, Olivia, falls in love with Cesario, who she thinks is a really cute guy. She doesn't realize that Cesario is Viola in disguise. Although there's a point in the play where she sees Viola's twin brother, Sebastian, and says, come with me. And Sebastian takes one look at her and says, she's pretty. She's rich. She seems to be in control. Okay. And my favorite moment in the play is a moment at the end where the Lady Olivia is standing there with Sebastian, whom she has married, and Viola dressed as a boy. And she's like, two of them. Oh, which most one? Wonderful. And then she says, oh, well, I get one as a brother. I get one as a husband and the other as a sister.
Exactly.
Now, when this was first performed, when Shakespeare was, around looking at it, did he do even more duplicity by putting women in the roles of the men who were supposed to be men but were really women?
No, that's the thing that's even more wonderfully confusing about this entire thing, because in the original productions, there were no female actors. So it gets even more confusing when you think that Viola is actually a male actor, a young male actor whose voice hasn't changed yet, playing a woman who then plays a man. And then the Lady Olivia. Lady Olivia that Dr. Cobb just mentioned is not Lady Olivia, but is in fact a male actor playing Lady Olivia, who's in love with a boy who's not really a boy, but is in fact a girl who is in fact a boy. So it's very confusing.
You nailed it.
Very confusing.
And that's why Shakespeare's audiences would have just been in hysterics laughing. You know, this play is, we've seen Shakespeare, the American Shakespeare Centers, do this play at Murray State before. And I know that when I came out of it the last time, my face hurt for about 2 days because I laughed so hard.
We ought to do the dates and the times. I mean, great shows while we're in the thick of it.
Yes, there are two daytime performances of Twelfth Night. They are Wednesday and Thursday, March 6th and 7th, from 10 a.m. until about 12:15 p.m. in Lovett Auditorium. And we've been saying that that's just for students, just for regional middle school and high school students. But really, anybody who has free time at that time can come. You can pay $5 if you're a student. You can pay $10 if you're a member of the general public. And you can just see the show then. We also have a nighttime performance of Twelfth Night on Friday night, March 8th. And that's from 7 o'clock at night until about 9:15 p.m. Same price range, $5 if you're a student, $10 if you're a member of the general public. And Duchess of Malfi is Thursday night at 7 o'clock, March 7th.
Wow, lots of stuff.
And now for the second time ever, a live Shakespeare reading on Sounds Good, Drs. Barbara Cobb and Rusty Jones.
I think we need to set this one up a little bit, if we can, very briefly here. This is one of my favorite moments where Duke Orsino actually thinks that he's talking to a fellow guy, and they're having kind of guy talk about women. What he doesn't realize is that he's actually speaking to a woman who has remarkable insight into what women really think and how they really behave, as opposed to the way that we assume that they think and behave.
So this is Rusty as Duke Orsino, and I am playing Viola, but at this moment I'm disguised as Cesario, the young man.
Thou dost speak masterly, my life upon it. Young though thou art, thine eye hath strayed upon some favor that it loves, hath it not, boy?
A little by your favor.
Mm. What kind of woman is it?
Of your complexion.
Ach, she's not worth thee, then. What years, i' faith?
About your years, my lord.
Ah, too old, by heaven. Let still the woman take an elder than herself. So wears she to him, so sways she level in her husband's heart. For, boy, however we do praise ourselves, our fancies are more giddy and unfirm, more longing, wavering, sooner lost and worn than women's are.
I think it well, my lord.
Then let thy love be younger than thyself, or thy affection cannot hold the bent. For women are as roses, whose fair flower, being once displayed, doth fall that very hour.
And so they are. Alas, that they are so to die, even when they to perfection grow.
Once more, Cesario, get thee to yon same sovereign cruelty. Tell her, my love, more noble than the world, prizes not quantity of dirty lands. The parts that fortune hath bestowed upon her, tell her I hold as giddily as fortune, but 'tis that miracle and queen of gems that nature pranks her in, attracts my soul.
If she cannot love you, sir?
I cannot be so answered.
Sooth, but you must. Say that some lady, as perhaps there is, hath for your love as great a pang of heart as you have for Olivia. You cannot love her. You tell her so. Must not she be then so answered?
There is no woman's sides can bide the beating of so strong a passion as love doth give my heart. No woman's heart so big to hold so much. They lack retention. Alas, their love may be called appetite. No motion of the liver, but the palate that suffers surfeit, cloyment and revolt. But mine is all as hungry as the sea and can digest as much. Make no compare between that love a woman can bear me and that I owe Olivia.
But I know...
What dost thou know?
Too well what women love women to men may owe. In faith they are as true of heart as we. My father had a daughter, loved a man, as it might be, perhaps, were I a woman, I should your lordship.
Huh. And what's her history?
A blank, my lord. She never told her love, but let concealment, like a worm in the bud, feed on her damask cheek. She pined and thought, and with a green and yellow melancholy, she sat like patience on a monument, smiling at grief. Was not this love indeed? We men may say more, swear more, but indeed our shows are more than will, for still we prove much in our vows, but little in our love.
But died thy sister of her love, my boy?
I am all the daughters of my father's house, and all the brothers too, and yet I know not. Sir, shall I to this lady?
Aye, that's the theme. To her, in haste, give her this jewel. Say my love can give no place, bide no denay.
Doctors Rusty Jones and Barbara Cobb of the Murray State University Department of English and Philosophy. And I'd like to move right from the language to Monday the 4th, Daryl Phillippe's described that workshop.
Daryl
like
Phillippe
fun.
Is giving a workshop on Shakespeare's metrics, but instead of just doing a sort of dry lecture, he's going to actually have a dance party to rock music and make the metrics alive in that way. And anybody can attend any of the events that are listed. They're all free. You can come to see them. Everything's listed at the website, www.murraystate.edu/Shakespeare. You can find all of the events there. Everybody's welcome. We've also got a really exciting one happening out at Playhouse in the Park, mm-hmm. which is new. We've never done that before. We're partnering with partnering with Playhouse in the Park, which is in Murray Central Park. And that's on Wednesday the 6th, I believe, mm-hmm. at 5 o'clock. And we're taking some of the American Shakespeare Center actors out to Playhouse, and we're having a community theatrical acting workshop that's free and open to absolutely everybody. Anybody who wants to participate or just go and watch budding Shakespeareans of Murray try their hand at it.
What about the flash mob?
Last year we had a lot of fun with the flash mob in the Currer Center. We actually had some Murray State actors putting on A Midsummer Night's Dream or little portions of it, and we gave out T-shirts and whatnot. This year we're going to let people in the Currer Center try their hand at Shakespearean insults. Mm-hmm. We're going to hand out different Shakespearean insults, and the ones who come up with the best combinations will win some tickets or T-shirts, and it's a great way to generate interest.
That is Tuesday.
That
next
one's on
Tuesday
at
noon to one mm-hmm. in the Rocking Chair Lounge.
So I guess technically it's not a flash mob because we're announcing it, but, you know.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's well, I mean, we are well aware of the contradiction in terms. Well aware of the contradiction. We don't want it to be a secret. Yeah, we don't want it to be a secret.
Y'all forget that. Okay. Well, we're glad you're here, and congratulations on a big Shakespeare festival, and we'll be hearing more about it as we go along, I'm sure.
Thanks.
Thank you.